today, that chapter 12, the first 10 verses. And the title is, the topic is Wanted Living Sacrifices. Now, if you take a look at history and the scriptures, and different places in the Old Testament, all the different sacrifices were made. One thing was true about every one of those sacrifices, they were all dead. They died. But today, God is not interested in dead sacrifices, but living sacrifices. And He wants people who are saved, Christian people, wanted living sacrifices. These things are very important to God. And let's read verse number 1 today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice in this section, 10 verses, many present tenses in the Greek language. The present tenses indicate continuous action. Continuous, not just a point action. I beseech you, I continually talk and urge you, brethren. Present tense. Beseech, urge on you, brethren. Let us say thee by the mercies of God. What is it beseech them about? That you present. Another present tense, that's first verse. Continuously, present tense. Present continuously, not just simply Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, but all the time. Continuously. What does it mean to present your bodies? That means to have your bodies be used for Him. Present them and offer Him so He can use them in any way He wishes to use them. Your bodies, other parts of our bodies, our mouths, our thoughts, like our eyes, our hands, our feet, our ears, all, every part of our body presented to a living, again, a present tense, continuously, a living sacrifice. I don't know whether you're 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 or 60 or 80 or 90, whatever your age is, it's to be a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is something that's not easy, something to give as a gift to the Lord, and it's called a sacrifice. Now, notice the type of sacrifice it's got to be. It's not what you're going to do. It's to be holy. Not simply scrub it up like some person might have an unholy of the Lord, but it should be a holy sacrifice, a holy gift to the Lord. That should be acceptable to God. He would want it. You know, something He wants you to do and give to Him, and that's the second sacrifice right here. And notice it says it's your reasonable service. Nothing is out of the line. If He saves you by His grace, then He expects you to do the service. It's a reasonable service. I'm not getting enough flying in the morning.
That wasn't true enough high enough.
It's a reasonable sacrifice. It doesn't make nonsense, it makes sense that you and I, as genuine Christians, should offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Very few people do that. Now, these are important things for all of us to understand. I guess I told you that not in the Old Testament there are dead sacrifices. There are a total of 1,700. Required 1,700 in the Old Testament, plus offerings, general offerings, but not necessarily sacrifice, but offerings, willing offerings. These are willing, but these are offered for special means, but there are 1,700 that are required sacrifices for the Lord Himself. Very important to see that. Let's read verse number 2 at this time. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed. Again, it's a present tense, negative, which in the Greek means stop an action already in progress. These people have given themselves to the world, and God says stop it. And if we are giving ourselves to this world instead of to Him, He orders us to stop it as well. Be not conformed. Stop your being conformed to the image of God. to the image of the world, rather, and be transformed, again, a present tense, continuously transforming ourselves, transforming our lives, transforming our thoughts, our speech, all that we do, changing what we normally have been doing all of our lives, conforming ourselves to this wicked world. But be transformed, continuous action, again, another present tense. How? By the renewing of your mind. Our minds were not renewed when we were first saved, and our minds should be continuously renewed. It's continuously renewed day by day by the Scriptures, the Word of God. So we should read it, study it, memorize it, in order that they may prove continuous action, continuously to prove and to accept and to understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the only way we know what is acceptable and perfect will of God, is to find it in the Scriptures, to read, to study, to memorize all these different things, to honor the Lord and will of God. The will of God is found in the Scriptures, only in the Scriptures. A lot of people say, I know what the will of God is, but I think about it. Well, some people do think about it, but that's not the will of God. It's Scriptures will tell us what that word is. And God's commandments are for our good. For instance, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear me, fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's what the will of God is in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, in this chapter 10. And that's what this Lord wants us to do here. Be not conformed. Stop being conformed to the will of God. But be transformed again, a present tense, continuous action, transformed by the living God. Then the verse number 2, I guess we read that already. Just verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly, not to think soberly, according to God, that thought a man ever being faith. Not to think more highly than he ought to think. Others be humble and sober and contrite, not boastful and arrogant. In pride. Pride and proud things, various verses on that. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, fighting, bickering, loud argumentation, but with the well advised is wisdom. And also another verse on pride in Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. We've got to be very careful with pride. Stick with the Lord and understand what he wants to do more than ever. And in Mark 7, 21 to 22, there are many things that are listed, but it says to start with from within, out of the heart of man. Here's the list of all the things that can be consistent of, including pride, but perceive evil thoughts from our hearts, adulteries from our hearts, fornications, murders, these all originate from our hearts, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride from the heart, all these things including pride, and foolishness. And then in 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, pastor, many Christians, not to be a novice, lest, lifting up with, filled with pride, lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That's why pastors should not be just a new type of a Christian. These are things for maturity. People have lived their lives because of the dangers of pride that might come from a pastor that is not geared for love and service. And the one that's a mature individual. Let's read verse number. We read three. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same numbers. That's true, we have a lot of members, and they don't have the same office, absolutely. Fingers and wrists and hands and feet and legs and all these different things, and the brain, they don't have the same way of doing things. They're all necessary, and so the members of the body of Christ is one body. All members have not the same office, which is true. Every Christian has a special memory, special office, has not the same office. But these things are different. You've got to realize that they're different. And you've got to go along these things. Now, we read number two, but I didn't read, which I think I did. Did I read Deuteronomy 10? Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, I got four.
Okay. I got to realize which way to turn these pages. It's something different. So the fourth verse, let's read that. For as we have members in one body, all the members have not the same office. So that's what it is. One body, wrists and fingers and ankles and legs are not the same. And I read it. Okay. I read this. Turn the page in the right direction. Open the wrong direction. I don't know what we're doing here. In this new type of section here, I got a new. Well, chapter number two, we've done that.
We just did verse 4.
Verse 4.
Read that twice.
I'm reading the wrong section. Alright. Read that twice. Okay, we read 2. Have we read the verses on the members yet?
Yeah, verse 4 we read twice.
Read that twice already. Okay. Well, don't take the read about the members. Romans 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members. These are believers, saved Christians, as instruments of unrighteousness and to sin. Don't yield any of your members. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's important how we yield our instruments of our bodies, all the things that we have. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12, whereas the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we are members of that body, we're genuine Christians, and we don't have the same gifts. Some have very few gifts. At least they don't seem to have any gifts. They don't use their gifts for the Lord. They just use them for themselves, and that's all. In verse 5, let's read that together. So we, being many, are one body in Christ.
And everyone members one another.
The body of Christ. Now, some churches say the body of Christ is a local church. And we believe as the Scriptures teach us, we have the members, those that are genuinely saved all over the world. From the very first time the Christians began until the present, they're all part of that body. One body, many different members. Let's read verse number. We read 5 here yet?
Yeah.
And read this, read it number 6. Having then gifts
according to the grace that is given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Now we believe the prophecy has already been finished and completed. There's nothing more to go. We have the Holy Spirit of God. In the early church gave the messages that he wanted to give, a prophetic picture in the Old Testament. And we don't believe that that's what a gift for today. Now, some people differ with us, and they say it's still prophecy, so let's go ahead with the gift of prophecy. Sometimes they have a whole meeting. I think of the big meeting that my wife and I went to, somewhere in the south, I remember the exact date. And they kept the prophecy think it's a prophetic conference. They didn't think it was finished. One went up and made a prophecy, another went up and made another prophecy. No, the scriptures are finished. The Bible is complete. This gift was finished when the Bible was finished and completed Israel. And so we don't have this gift of prophecy as it's from these Pentecostals teach and believe and preach, but our Bible is finished, and so we should stop for the prophecy. Let's read those 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, however. For another, the working of miracles, for another, prophecy, for another, the discerning of spirits, for another, the diverse kinds of tongues, for another, the interpretation of tongues. This is during the scriptural time when the Bible is being completed and being written. These are the things that are talked about in that sense of prophecy and the time of the Bible. Same in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, that's what Paul is saying, to understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. This was during the time when the prophecy was being written and the scripture was being made. But charity must accompany prophecy, even in that time when it was being given. In 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 12, charity and love never faileth. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. And I have ceased. We differ with the Pentecostals, the Charismatics. They think tongues still are here, and they just babble their way along. It's unscriptural. It's unscriptural. Whether it be knowledge, it's evangelism. One day knowledge of evangelism. And in verse 9, I know in part, and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. This is true. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Many men do not put away childish things, sad to say. Many Christians, certain organizations, don't put away childish things either, such as prophecy, such as speaking in tongues. Those are childish, baby things, baby talk, nonsense. For now, though we see through a glass, darkly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, that's knowledge, just in part, and then shall I know even as also I am known. I think what I'll do is change the order of these pages. I normally go from left to right, and that's why I mixed up that first. I'm going to go from left to right this time as well. And what are the verses on? Did I read the prophecy already? Can I read a number of verses in prophecy? Mm-hmm. Working in miracles? So I'll give it. If the prophecy, okay, in part. All right, good. Okay, now I go from right to left, but I think we're all right now. Let's read verse number 7 together. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He is precious on teaching. The word teaching is present for many years. I shall also continue to teach. I never stop teaching the Word of God, the Old Testament when it applies, New Testament when it applies. Is right. But the teaching should be sound. Teaching should be biblical. Nothing to do with his unbiblical things. Well, first of all, in our ministries, the various verses of ministry, what it is, for instance, in Acts 6 and verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. You realize there are very, very few churches in this country and around the world that minister in the Word of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't even know what the Word of God is. They don't know much about it. And their churches are simply something other than ministry of the Word of God. I haven't been to these churches, so I don't know what to do, but it's just talk about various subjects and topics. They list the topics in ministry. But the scriptural ministry in Acts 6 and verse 4, Paul says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word, the Scriptures. You must know the Word in order to minister the Scriptures to others. Then in Acts 20, verse 24, none of these things move me, says Paul, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He's even ready to give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ if need be, so that I might finish my course with joy. He did finish it with joy. He did finish it with suffering as well. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus gave him the ministry. He was out to kill Christians, and he killed any of them. And the Lord went in that road, and who art thou? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he was saved, called the Lord. So I have finished my job with the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus on that road that gave him the ministry, follow me and serve me. Testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is good news. It's also bad news. It's bad news because it tells there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. The way that you follow that is not good. You call it the good way, but not the bad way. And because of the ministry, this false ministry, which is not salvation by grace through faith, but salvation by works, that's one of the ministries that people teach. And that's not true, and that's not great at all. But the ministry, he got it from the Lord. He testified the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is two parts, at least two parts, many parts. But the first part of the gospel is everyone is lost and bound for hell. There is a hell, and without trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior, you're ending up in hell. That's part of the gospel. But the positive part is, it's the good news. Trusting Christ who died for your sins as your Savior, you escape hell, you go to heaven. And you die, and you live for him who died for you. And testify the gospel of grace that by getting something you do not deserve. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Reconcile means to bring us together, to get together again, peacefully. Reconcile himself by Jesus Christ, and to give them to us, every genuine Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. Think that to tell others who are not reconciled, to be reconciled, who are not with Christ, but are against Christ, unchristian, anti-Christian, to be reconciled, joined to him peacefully and comfortably. In Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints in perfection, saints are lost, not lost in the sense of lost in hell, but they're fleshly, they've got the same flesh as the unsaved people. The thing they have different is they're saved. They have saved flesh, and they have the Holy Spirit of God and God in them, and always to help them. But he reconciled for the perfecting of the saints. We need perfection. Any saint, any genuine Christian says they're perfect is lying. Nobody can be perfect in this flesh that we live in. Only in Christ can we be perfect. In Christ we're perfect, but not in every detail of our life. We have the Spirit of God, yes, but also have the flesh, which is wicked, sinful, and we never have that to be free with. A lot of people teach that. They teach that once you're a Christian, you have no flesh, it's gone. You know the answer to that? Just ask their husband or their wife, or their friends, or their children. Ask them if they're perfect. They'll have a united answer because of the flesh. But Ephesians 4, verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Because the saints aren't perfect, they ain't perfecting. But the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what saints, Christians, are doing. Edifying, building up the body of Christ, the other saved Christians. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Paul realized he needed enablement. He was not perfect, which the word all over the world. But enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. Though he may not be perfect, help us to be faithful to the Lord. Counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He was going to be killing the Christian. Now the Lord said, here, Paul, I want you to go to the ones who are lost and minister to them the gospel of Christ. And this word teaching. He that teaches in this verse, number 7, I'm teaching. That's a present tense, continuous Christian, because people never can have all the ministry and remember it. It's got to be continuous reaction, continuous teaching. For instance, in Acts 15, verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. with many of those apostles. If you think these things are important, that you can or to teach the things of the Lord and to preach it. Teaching is not preaching. Preaching is not teaching. But both are necessary. Preaching is a more power use of scriptures. Teaching is telling what the scriptures teach, what the scriptures are. Teaching. And then in Acts 18, verse 11, and he that is called continued there a year and 6 months. Well, I've been here in this church, what is it, 23 years? I don't know. Can't keep track of. When did we begin? 98. So how many years would it be? Present time. It would be 22. What month was it? October. Coming up on 22, 21. And in Acts, he could have a year and 6 months. What was he doing? Playing tiddlywinks with men all colors? No, he was teaching the Word of God alone. And that's what many pastors are not doing in their ministries. They're not teaching the Word of God. They're not writing about the Word of God. They're talking about many other things. Teaching, very important. And then in Acts 26, rather 28, in verse 31, Paul, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching the Word of God and preaching and doing things. Notice how he does it, how he does it. What is his attitude as he preaches and teaches? With all confidence, no man forbidding it. We must be confident in what we're preaching, what we believe. Otherwise, people are not going to be believing what we're saying. We have to be confident in what we believe and doing what we teach about and preach about as well. In Colossians 1, verse 28, speaking of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach, warning every man. So you've got to be warning. There's warning about God and different judgments of God. Warning every man and teaching every man how he's going to teach in all wisdom. Not foolishness or folly, silliness, in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man, every woman, every person perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. We want to build them up so they're Christian, they're godly Christians, and obedient Christians as well. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you first richly. The way you have it dwell, of course, is to read it and believe it. And not only reading it, all wisdom, but teaching and admonishing one another. Once you have the word of God, teach and admonish one of the fellow believers, fellow Christians, in psalms and hymns, should be proper psalms that we read, hymns, proper psalms, and spiritual songs. So singing and hymns are an important part of the churches. It should be sound and sing proper. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Some people can't sing very well. What they do in this singing, they should be singing it with their grace and in your hearts and sing to the Lord. Not simply equal human being, but to the Lord. Let's read verse number 8 again. He that exhorteth on exhortation,
he that giveth on good with his blessing, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Again, several present tenses. Back in this verse, there are four present tense Greek words. Verbs. Four. He that exhorteth, that's present tense, continue to exhort. A lot of people exhort themselves or push themselves, but exhorting the Lord Jesus Christ, exhorting the Christian things. On exhortation, means to encourage people. Exhortation is encouragement. And he that giveth, again, present tense, he that continues to give. You've got to give to the Lord. And do it with simplicity. A lot of people give with great pride and exhortation, almost telling everybody about it and bragging about it, but with simplicity. He that rules, again, another person that continues to rule, to guide and direct the ministry of the church and ruling in other areas, and do it with diligence. Diligence. Diligence means carefulness, it means exactness. He's not inherent in error. And then another person, he that showeth mercy. Continue to show mercy to people. Do it with cheerfulness. If I can't show mercy, help the cheerfulness. Just be cheerful about it and don't do anything about it other than that. And as far as exhorting, the verse on exhorting, one of the things that is very, for instance, in Acts 14, excuse me, Acts 11, and verse 23, on exhorting. Who, when he that is Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. There was a man glad to see the grace of God, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Snatch closely and stay with the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. That's part of his exhorting. And in Acts 14, verse 22, another verse on exhorting, Paul and Barnabas, confirming the souls of the disciples, confirming them, making sure that they're right in their doctrines and beliefs and practices, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. A lot of people start with the faith for a few weeks or months or years. You don't see much of the faith anymore. That's a sad situation. Continue in the faith, Lord Jesus Christ, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He warns them. Paul Barnabas warns the people that there's tribulation. We haven't seen much tribulation in our church yet. Although, when you're given commands to do a number of things, it costs a lot of money. It's a little bit of tribulation. Whenever you have to build an outside exit, a basement, it costs $9,500. That's all tribulation. You've got to bear up with it. But if it's required, if it's necessary, you do it. And praise the Lord for supplying the needs. They just completed much of it. But have some extra things. For instance, in the basement, this church, they say because we're a church in a house, but still, I guess, condemn us and shut us down. If the Lord had not given us that amount of money, $9,500, and not done what the orders to do, it's closed down. Our church is closed down, our house, which I don't live in. But very important. But it's one thing to have the money. It's another thing to be willing to disperse the money for what is needed for the ministry. And that must be the case as well. And so it's not always easy. I'm lost my place in verse. Acts 15:32, you see that again? Judas and Silas, the prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. They confirmed the words they were saying, confirmed the exhortation. So they exhorted. Exhortation is encouraging people to follow the things of the Lord. Not to beat them down, slap them in the face, and bite their nails, right? It's confirming, exhortation, building them up, encouraging them to follow the Lord. Then in Acts 15, verse 32, and Judas and Silas, the prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren, and exhorted the brethren, how? With many words. Many words, don't condemn them, don't knock them, don't slap their faces, but exhort them with many words and confirm them. Make sure that they realize what they're doing, what they're believing, is confirmable and biblical, and confirming the Word of God. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, Paul says to Pastor Timothy, till I come, give attendance to various things. Three things. One, two, three. First is the reading. Probably the reading of the Word of God, Old and New Testament. Whichever was written in the New Testament. The whole thing. First thing, give attendance to reading. Second thing, give attendance to exhortation. That means to encourage people to the things of the Word. Give attendance to that. Then give attendance to doctrine, teaching the Scripture. Don't be a false teacher in the doctrines. But till I come, Paul says, the tendency of a preacher, you have a tendency of these things, meaning exhortation and doctrine. And it's 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Wonderful verse. Preach the word. Well, many pastors don't follow that at all. They talk about various things. But preach the word, the scripture, it must be the right word. The proper historic Hebrew, proper historic Aramaic, proper historic Greek tradition, translated excellently, all of which can be said of the King James Bible. Proper translation of Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Old Testament, Greek, and the New. And we must follow. And he told Timothy, the pastor leader, preach the word and continue till I come. Then 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, that's what we're at. Preach the word, the scriptures, the word of God. Be instant as we're preaching. Do it in season, do it out of season. There should be no non-season when we're preaching the word. Do it all the time. What you do when you're preaching? Reprove if there's some sins to be reproved, reprove. Rebuke if there's need to be rebuked, rebuke. Exhort, enlighten and encourage, exhort. Now, with all long suffering, first of all, long suffering is not easy for some people, and also with doctrine, teaching the word of doctrine from the Bible Scripture. Then in Titus 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word, that's the Scripture. So the way we have the faithful word, our King James Bible, accurately translated in the proper, defended Old Testament, New Testament, original words, sound doctrine. Exhort, convince, thank you, exhort and convince the gainsayers. Not the gainsayers, don't believe the word, don't believe the Bible, don't believe the scripture, don't believe Christ. You've got to exhort them and convince them if possible. Some people are convinced. Before I was saved, I was an unbeliever. Uncle Charlie was 30 years solidly drunk before God saved me. And he was just a janitor. He pushed the broom in Gray High School. And that's where I first met him. Three of us were listening to him talking in the music room. It was in the first floor of Gray High School. I went out to get a drink, and he's out there sweeping the floor with the fellow. And we were talking about the creation and all the big things that God had made. And I told him, Uncle Charlie, what were we talking about? About the three of us, three students. We're all seniors at that time. And one of the things we're talking about was creation and stars and moon. And so I thought I'd ask him. I said, Uncle Charlie, how did all these things get up? Because there are millions and billions of stars and other things that got into it. He put his room away to sort of not go sleep. He just held it down. Just at the head, big fellow, about 6 feet 2 inches, looked down at me. And gave me a one-word answer, two-word answer. How did all these people? I know. Well, if he knew that, I thought to myself, he may know a lot of things. He may know other things he knows as well. So I went down his brother's room several days after that, and talked to him about all the things that he knew. The Lord Jesus Christ and was saved and born again, all the stars are made in creation, all these things, praise the Lord, of the child of you. And that's what we've got to realize. And so, unfortunately,
that is one man.
Sound doctrine is ordered, convince the gainsayers. I needed to be convinced. I went to a Methodist church that knew nothing but modernism and apostasy. My mother made me go. I was so sick, I was saying, I gotta go somewhere. I went to Sunday school. I didn't bother going to that good preacher's before. In fact, after I was saved, my mom sicked that preacher, the modernist apostate Methodist preacher on me, and took me out in his car, tried to talk me out of things that I believed. I didn't get talked out of one single solitary thing. I excoriated mom, not really excoriated, but I told mom, you should never accept that. at a prostate preacher after your son. He was trying to get away, get me away from everything I believe, but they didn't speak to Jesus. That's no place that you should have a modernist preacher trying to get me away from things. Exhorted, and so then in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, what exhorted, exhort one another daily, encourage them. Encourage them. If you're not discouraged, try to be encouraged and encourage others, exhort. While it is called today, as so long as you may be gone, and may be dead, not be around to exhort anybody. Lest any of you be hardened through this deceitfulness of sin. That's the thing that gets a hold of us, disheartening. Deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. In our church, we're together. Well, it's not a big church, that's fine. We're going to be assembled together. We're listening to the scriptures over here. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm glad we're getting some new ones every day or so, every other day, every other week. See a day they're approaching. Exhorting one another. And Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, come in salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Jude says, you need exhortation, encouragement, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is the doctrines of Scripture. And if anything we need to contend about, it's not our thinking, it's not our house, it's not our beliefs, it's not our, it's the Word of God. The faith, contend. There's much to be contended about. Many churches, many pastors, many Christians, many non-Christians are contentious about the faith. The Bible says, doctrines of the Scripture, which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith of God, once more. Fine, let's read verse number 8. Number 8 to you. For he that exhorteth, an exhortation. He that giveth, and do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Oh, we're right. Oh, my. That's one way I'm going another way. Okay. Let's see. I thought I was going in the right direction. Okay. All right, let's talk about giving. That's one of the things, giving. In Matthew 6, verse 3, but when thou doest alms, that is, giving money, small amounts, but giving money, let not the left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms, if thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father will see it in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. So these are some things to give. And so turn the right way, the right direction. In 2 Corinthians 9, and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, every man, as every person, no matter what, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. And this verse says, be careful about our ruling, overseeing things, taking care of it. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, let the elders that rule well. As the scripture we've said many times before, the pastor is the pastor, the bishop is the elder. Other churches have other rules too. As a purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. We don't give to the Lord grudgingly. Or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. No matter how much you give, he wants us to be a cheerful giver. And ruling, as far as ruling in the churches. Let the elders that rule well, not that just rule, but the elders don't rule very well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their promises of their life. And again in Hebrews 13, the seventh time. Obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves. They watch for your souls, and they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And that is unprofitable for you. Unbelievers follow the Lord. It's profitability and joy. Then Hebrews 13 and verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They have Italy. So let's read verse number 9 together. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Believe that which is good. That's it. It's interesting. Love without dissimulation. Not with love this or that, that was on dissimulation. Now these two words, abhor and flee, they're opposite. But both are present tense. They continuously abhor. Yeah, we don't abhor everything. And continuously flee. We don't cleave everything. There's situations that you should abhor, should flee. That's having the word flee. That means to hold one to another. Flee. It's almost like another translation of that, another application of that is like glue. First of all, let love be without dissimulation. Without any discernment, maybe Christian love. But two things, abhor and flee. Let's start with cleaving, first of all. Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Joining, cleaving, and sticking to the wife, as I did with my wife. 71 years. It's a long time. I couldn't continue because she died. I would have continued if she stayed living. But 71 years. Were we perfect? No, nobody's perfect. Was our marriage perfect? No, no marriage is perfect. We're always doing the best we could know. But we had enough brains to stay together as we promised at our wedding ceremony. Love, honor, and obey until death us do part. Until death us do part. We're not encouraging death, but until that time, we stay there, cleaving. Genesis 2:24. And shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. This will be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. And in Mark 10:7-8. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. In verse 8, and they twain shall be one flesh. So they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. Then in Acts 11, verse 23, for when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Glue is one of us. Never leave. Cleave. Stay with them. Be faithful. Then this word abhorring. So they should abhor that which is evil. That means to hate it. Hate evil. Just hate it. Don't hate the good, but hate the evil. First is in Psalm 97 and verse 19. He that loved the Lord hate evil. Some people never hate anything. God differs with them in their opinion. He says hate evil, despise and abhor it. Hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of his hand to the wicked. In Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts, O Lord, get it to me, Lord, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That should govern our lives, hating every false way. Don't get near them. Stay away from false ways. In Psalm 119, verse 163, David says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Wonderful difference, isn't it? In Proverbs 8, in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. Hate all those things. Evil, pride, arrogance. And the evil way. And the froward mouth. All these things do I hate. And then Amos 5, verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Sometimes we do speak uprightly or hate it very badly. People don't stand with us in these things. Now there's the reverse of the truth. Amos, first of all, before the reversal, Amos 5 and verse 15. Hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate, and maybe the Lord God of hosts will be gracious of the remnant of Joseph. Here's a reversal of the truth. That's in Micah 3 and verse 2. That's about those who hate the good, or something like that around us, hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. Another verse. That's the reverse of truth. Another verse on that. Hebrews 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. That's the proper way. And then, verse 10. Final verse. Let's say it together. Be kindly affectionate one to another, brother in love, and honor, preferring one another. A brother in love and honor with preferring one another. Brother in love, first in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. And as touching brotherly love, I need not that I write unto you. These Thessalonians know what that was all about. Follow brotherly love. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, proper love, brotherly love. And then Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Another kinds of love, but brotherly Christian love continue. So this is what Paul wanted them to look forward to. This is what they wanted to work out and follow. Love and Christian faith, the things of the Lord, and live and make their bodies answer to the Lord continuously, good testimonies, and not only let brotherly love continue, but all the other things, the doctrine of the faith, things that concern properly, and as the scripture says, we have to live our lives continuously and forcefully and lovingly with the Lord. And give ourselves, not necessarily dying, but living lives that please the Lord always and all things. Let's close with the word. We thank thee, Lord, that thy words are clear. We thank thee that thou hast given us the scriptures here in Romans 12 in which we obey. Help us to love our neighbors, help us to love our own wives and children, fellow believers in Christ. Help us to be sincere in all that we do and say. Help us in our church and ministry may be faithful and true and continuous and serving thee. Many martyrs were killed in the Old Testament and many in the New Testament. Help us to love in sincerity and truth, and in our bodies may we give ourselves continuously to the love of our Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again.